All right, so I don't know how to start off this show. I'll start off by saying that this is, what's today, Monday?
Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday, the Tuesday after, unfortunately, Kobe Bryant passed away. And obviously, it's been a rough 2 days if you lived here on the West Coast. It's been very difficult. I think we're finally starting to understand who Kobe Bryant was for all of us. I think we're finally starting to understand the impact that he had on our life. And we just had a meeting here at the company, like we do every day. We started off the day by practicing our role play and our skills. And today was just a little difficult to do that, right? And so I just shared, I believe from my heart on our experience with Kobe. And I thought I would share with you guys. So we're recording a podcast. We're going live on Facebook. We're going live on Instagram. Somebody just said they can't see me. No, you guys should be able to see me. Gabriel, let me know. Just let me know if it's okay. Anyhow, guys. People mourn differently, right? People go through things differently. The best way for me personally to go through things is to like talk and to share and to try to teach. That's just who I am. I don't know any other way to be, really, quite frankly. And so what I want to do is I want to share with you guys on this episode of the show. I want to share with you guys not only our time with Kobe, but some of the lessons that we learned with him. And I'm going to start off by just kind of prefacing what it's like to hire a quote unquote celebrity speaker to come to your event. We've experienced it all. We've experienced, thankfully, really, really nice people that come to our events. Yet, we were on pins and needles, right? Because this was Kobe Bryant. And no matter what, everyone before that has come has this certain little celebrity thing about them, right? In my mind, I was thinking, and I know my brother Anthony was thinking this. I know Claudia for sure was thinking this. I know our staff was thinking this. We've had everybody before, but this was freaking Kobe. Like, this was a big deal for us, And I just thought, quite honestly, I just thought his if like egos were big before, this was gonna be the biggest ego of all because it's Kobe. He's the biggest of all, right? Secondly, his staff in working with us was vicious. And when I say vicious, they had the mama mentality, right? They were there to win at their job, and their job was to protect him, rightfully so. And so, in all of our contract negotiations, in all of our communications with the staff, they were extremely protective over him. There were only a certain amount of people that were allowed to meet him at the meet and greet, and you better not go over, right? And I'm sure they had heard we went way over with A-Rod the year before. So, A-Rod, thank you for being so gracious with that situation. He wanted two things in his dressing room. I think it was M&Ms and wine. Wasn't that what it was? Was that Krishna? Yeah. By the way, don't be afraid to talk. It's okay. But I think he wanted M&Ms and wine, right? And so we had that in his dressing room, so forth and so on. And I remember the event, and the event this year, last year, was particularly special because, as many of you who follow us know, I had been on a spiritual journey. And I'm just the kind of guy that, like, when I learn something, I want to teach other people. Because I don't want anybody missing out on, like, the potential of a better life, a better possibility. So I don't ever just learn something. I learn it, and I can't wait to tell everybody and share with everybody and hopefully teach everybody so that maybe they could learn from what I learned as well, you know? And so the day prior, we had just did something called breath work. Which, if you don't know what that is, we'll be doing a little bit of it this year as well. But it's a breathing technique that I'll just cut to the chase, guys. It was the most emotional time we had ever had at our event. People were crying, people were laughing, People were hugging, tears were flowing. And so the audience felt very, very united, is what it felt like. It felt, there was no ego, there was no competition, there was no nothing. It was just like love is really what it was. And so when we broke, when we were about to see Kobe, I was excited as all heck, and yet I was nervous, right? So I grabbed, you know, my core, which is my baby brother, Anthony, our kids, Claudia, and we walked to the room, and I kid you not, guys, you got to remember, so the audience thinks one way, right? I think another way. I'm thinking from the perspective of, I don't want to mess this up. We're probably going to have to just get in and out because his staff is like really serious about like nobody messing with him. And he's probably going to be a jerk, but that's okay. It's Kobe, you know, he could do whatever he wants, quite frankly, because I still love him. And we walk in the room and we're sitting there and we're waiting. And, you know, Lauren is nervous. Lauren's, you know, texting me. He's on the way up, right? My heart is pounding. I'm not going to lie. It was pounding. And he walks in. And I'll never forget this. He walked in, probably because he was so tall, athletic, I don't know. But he just looked, like, I remember his silhouette. He just looked so polished, so confident. He was wearing a crisp suit with these awesome sunglasses. And he just walks up to us, guys, like a normal guy, and goes, "What's up, man? I'm Kobe. How are you?" And it was almost as if instantly everything that I felt, right, all the nervousness, all the, you know, whatever it was, like it went away, you know. And then and then my son, you know, Aaron, you guys know him through social media. My son Aaron goes and grabs his pant leg, and I'm thinking, shit, leave him alone. You know, what are you doing right now, right? He goes and grabs his pant leg, and he's like tugging on his pants. You know, looking like this, because the dude is like a tree, right? He's just that tall, right? He grabs his pant leg and he's like, "Hey, Kobe, can I have some M&Ms? You know, can I have some M&Ms?" And I'm thinking like, no, please stop. And I'm thinking this because, I'm going to say this, we had a previous celebrity that was going to come to the event that was very demanding over her stuff that she wanted in the room. So demanding, it just wasn't the right energy for us. So that kind of like came into my mind at that moment. Like, you know, you don't know how people are going to react, right? And I'm thinking, you know, for future events, we're going to have other people. We don't want anybody to, we don't want Kobe to get like word back to me. All these things are going through my head. Kobe being as gracious and as wonderful as he can be, he says, "Oh, little man, you don't got to ask me. You got to ask your parents that, you know?" And so we all start laughing. Sure enough, Aaron starts eating his M&Ms. Kobe's eating M&Ms. Kobe's drinking a glass of wine. I'm here. And I remember tripping like, he's drinking a glass of wine. Right? Like, he's just as laid back as laid back as can be. We're like shooting the shit. We're just all talking, right? And like slowly, like the energy starts changing, right? And you know this about some people. He had this gift where whatever you were feeling, he just kind of like, and he helped you to see that everything was all right, you know? And at the time, she's gonna get mad at me for saying this, but Claudia had, I think, a glass of wine or two in her, right? Tequila, something, right? She was having a good time. She was having a great time, and she goes up, and I could have sworn they almost like have a little buzz going on together, right? And they're talking, and I remember Claudia just telling him, you know, how thankful she was for what he was doing for women's sports. And how awesome it was to see him with his daughter, you know. And he said something, you know. They were having a conversation. My brother and I had a conversation. If you don't follow my brother, he does an incredible job as a father with his little girl in golf. And Kobe told him two very specific things. I will leave that for him to share with all of you. I got some stuff signed, whatever, and we left. And we had to go on stage because we were going to introduce him. Guys, I'll tell you, I was so happy. We were all so happy. We all walked out of the room like this, like, he was so fucking nice. Like, he was so nice. We all just kept saying, he was so nice. Like, he was so nice. Like, and we couldn't believe it. Like, he didn't do the, you know, give me a moment, you know, celebrity. He was just like hanging out, like just the nicest guy you can think of. And so I get on stage, and if you could see it in the recording. I didn't even know what to say because I was in so much shock that here was this human being that probably had every right to be a jerk, to be snobbish, to be whatever. And he was the complete opposite. Quite frankly, one of the nicest, kindest people I have ever met. And I'm around, look, because of my spiritual journey, I've been around some hippies, and there's some nice people I've met. Kobe was one of the nicest guys. He was just one of the nicest people. He just made you smile. He just made you feel accepted. He was just a beautiful human being. And so I get on stage, I introduce him. The crowd is lit. It had been three beautiful days. We all spent so much great time together. And if you watch the recording, he even says it. He's like, man, you guys are amped up. And everybody's like, yeah, and everybody's screaming Kobe and MVP and we love you and so forth and so on. And I'm going to give you a couple of, I had to write this down in case I got emotional or whatever, but I had to write this down. This will show you who he was. So I'm on stage and I'm asking the questions, right? And I remember when I was asking A-Rod questions, and I remember when I was asking Gary Vee questions, and I remember everybody before, it was like this thing I had where I was like, I'm gonna be the best interviewer that I can be. And I'm gonna rise to the occasion for the audience, for myself. And there was like this competitive spirit inside of me, right? Not with Kobe, guys. Kobe, you could even see, I was just like, all right, let's just talk, let's just hang out and let's laugh. And we were laughing up there, and he was saying bad words, like, and that just showed me a lot about who he was and how relaxed he was with who he was and how true he was with who he was, you know. And then a moment happened where I kind of started getting a little bit of nervous. We have a friend, his name is Moses Rosales. He's in our coaching program. And I love the guy, he's like a brother. And Moses asks Kobe, he says, hey, you know, you don't know unless you try, would you mind taking a picture with my daughter, right? And in my head, remember, the audience thinks one way, I think another way. In my head, I'm thinking, we're gonna get in trouble. Because it was specifically written in the contract, like, you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do this. And I'm thinking that Kobe is gonna say, nah, man, my bad, whatever. And he said the exact opposite. So yeah, man, come on up. And in my head, I'm like, what are you doing? Sure enough, they come on up, Moses and Maria come up, they bring the baby up, and we call it the Simba moment. You guys remember this? Because Kobe held the baby like Simba with the Lion King, right? And he holds the baby up, and we all start laughing. The whole audience, I'm telling you, people, it was like the whole audience felt like this, united, right? And so that was the first moment. And the second moment, again, I was like, okay, it was Moses, not that big of a deal. This was during the Q&A. And the second moment, somebody asked, Kobe, I love you. You're like, I'm your greatest fan. I've been your fan since I was a kid. Could you please sign my jersey? Now, this particularly for me, I'm just going to tap you into my psychology here. This particular for me was a no-no. Because not only are we making Kobe do something that, you know, contractually he's not supposed to do, But now we're doing something that I don't like doing because I have to respect the people in the front rows who paid thousands of dollars to get the opportunity to meet him, right? So now my ego is flaring up and I'm like, no, 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 I don't like this. This isn't right. We gotta, you know, no movidas for any of you who've been at Relentless before. And sure enough, Kobe, just being as gracious as he can be, says, yeah, man, no problem. We'll take care of it. Come on up, see me after, whatever. And, you know, inside I was like, I don't like this because it's disrespectful to the people who have paid all the money, so forth and so on. But again, Kobe wasn't about that. It was just the kindest, sweetest, most beautiful human being. He really, really was. The event wraps up. Everybody is on fire. Everybody, you know, is just on cloud nine, the most exhilarating experience you can imagine. Probably one of the most beautiful days of my life, quite frankly. Just because of how happy everybody was, you know? And that's why I do these things. That's why I do these events, because I want to try to help people to see what's really possible for them. And when you see what's really possible for you, you get an energy, you get a joy, you start living life from a different perspective, you know? So I was just so freaking happy, man. Everyone was so happy. Everyone was so connected. And so we walk out, we're about to do the meet and greet, and everybody's in line. You know, we walk up with Kobe first. Everybody is getting in line. I was so happy, guys. I would literally high-fived everyone and I hugged everyone that was about to take a picture with him and that was in line with him. And then I just kind of watched him. And again, guys, I'm gonna try to put this into words. The way he was so gracious and so kind with everyone, it's like everyone had their own little individual moment with him. He was never looking around. He was never looking at his watch. He was focused on the people, right? And what they were telling him, and he was interacting with them. And I noticed that. I had noticed how kind he was, you know? And in that moment, guys, I realized, you know, Kobe was a uniter of people. And for us, he was a uniter of hearts. And when you think of, you know, society and you think of unfortunate things like racism and things that really have no place in our culture, you know, Kobe, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, whoever you were, he gave you something to cheer for, and he brought, in particular, LA together. I was never a Laker fan. I'm still not a Laker fan. I'm not really like a team fan other than the Yankees, but I've always been a Kobe fan. Because I love greatness, and he was great, you know. And for us, in that moment, he was a uniter of people. He brought everybody together, and he united all of us. Because he made you feel what was true, which was he was just another human being, just like we were, you know. And in that, he made you feel very special. You know, the audience is leaving. Everybody got their pictures. Everybody's so excited. Cloud nine. We can't wait. It's the great, you know, everybody's just over the moon. And I don't know what happened, but at the time, this is just, again, you know, by now you kind of know what Kobe is like. You know what he feels like, and you know what his spirit and his heart is all about. My son had just spilled something on his shirt. And I don't know what he realized. I don't know. You know, Aaron loves attention. He's 4 years old. And maybe he thought that Kobe was getting too much attention or stealing his thunder. I don't know. But Aaron, and without his shirt, right? And Isaac, if you could work in that image in the podcast so they could see it, stands in front of Kobe and starts flexing like the Hulk and starts posing in front of him. And Kobe is just laughing. And you know, gracious enough, he stood there to take pictures even with my little son, Aaron. And he walks away. And he, you know, we're wrapping up, we're talking, whatever, and he walks away. And I'll never forget Lauren, because Lauren's been with me in all these events. She's been with me since day one, and I love her so much. And I'll never forget, like, the look on her face when she came up to me after he left. And even in the messages she sent, she said, out of all the speakers we've ever had, all of them, like not, even the not so famous ones, out of all the speakers we've ever had, he's the only one that took the time to acknowledge every single one of our staff and make them feel special. And he made me feel special. And when he was having a conversation with his assistant, he brought me into that conversation, you know, where other people, they tend to kind of block you out, you know. And Kobe was just that guy, guys. And he really just was a beautiful human being. I'm going to share with you four lessons that I learned from him through our Q&A with him and some of his answers. The first, number one, was don't let distractions affect you. He shared with us, I'm sure you've seen it in the recording that we posted, but he shared with us, he always pictures a lion in Africa. And whenever you're watching like these, you know, safari shows or whatever, and you have a lion there and there's flies all over the lion's face, right? And the lion ain't budging, the lion ain't flinching, right? The lion's just looking straight. And he says, that's what I do with distractions, right? And I'm gonna share something with all of you, you know, here in our the real estate industry. I want to challenge you. One of the things that stops us from being great is so much distractions, you know, within the industry. And I just want to challenge you. Don't sweat the little things, guys. You know, even things in your own office that happen. Someone leaves the office or whatever, and you get all caught up emotionally about it, and you start chatting about it, whatever. Don't sweat that stuff. We have enough going on inside of ourselves to let things going on inside of other people's lives bother us, right? So that was number one. Number two, I remember he's told us he doesn't negotiate with himself. And we do that a lot, you know? Negotiating with yourself is a battle that goes on in your mind. It's a battle that goes on in your mind where you know you're supposed to do something and then you try to talk yourself out of it. And Kobe says, I simply don't negotiate with myself, you know? And I learned a lot from that because I know that in my life, there's been times where, you know, I'm supposed to do something and I don't want to do it or I don't feel like it. And Kobe, you know, just helped remind me, you know, just don't negotiate. Just don't have that conversation. You know, it's the same thing I think of right now, Mel Robbins, who was at one of our events, and what she says, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. And just do what you say you're going to do and do what you're supposed to do. You know. Number three, he told us a story about running on the track. And something had happened. He hurt his ankle, or I don't know exactly what happened, but he said, you know what? I think I'm going to like stop now. And then the second thought that came to his mind was, is this what quitters do? Or he said something like, so this is what quitting feels like, right? And he just shook himself out of it and he kept moving along. And I wrote down here, quitting is a choice. You know, quitting is a choice, no matter how tough it gets, quitting is a choice. Number four, you know, I want to challenge all of you, particularly there's some of you here, even in Southern California, who didn't go. And you knew about it. And at the time, maybe we didn't know how special of a moment it was going to be. But I just want to challenge you guys, like, don't let the little things stop you. I don't know if it was a flight. I don't know if it was an inspection report. I don't know if it was ego or hurt feel. I don't know what it was. It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It really was. And that it hurts me. It hurts me that so many great people here locally, here in our community, were stopped by thoughts, by things that happened up here. And so I want to challenge you, think a little bigger in your life, you know, think a little bigger. Because when it comes to learning and exposure to people like a Kobe, nothing should get in the way of that, right? Nothing. And then finally, and this was the greatest lesson that I learned personally, you know, Kobe was a fierce competitor, right? And that's why at the time on the court, I don't think he had that many friends. You know, he didn't have that many friends in basketball because he was fierce and he only wanted one thing. He wanted to win. That was it. I'll tell you right now, I don't have that many friends in real estate, quite frankly. I'm a competitor. I want to win. I think this year that has changed a lot inside of myself. And so I'm unapologetic about that because no matter what, hopefully I show what's possible, you know, when you focus. But I will say, and I'm going to say this here, Kobe was a uniter, not a separator. He was a uniter of people, you know, and I learned that. And I know that from this point forward, I'm going to do my best to care for, love, and help people. Because that's what he did, and that's what he showed us during his time with us. And I think that's what he would want for all of us, you know. I don't know what you've been taught. I don't know what you learned. I don't know what your parents taught you. But there is no race. There is no color. There's just one heart. That's all there is. And we experienced that in that room, and we experienced a spirit and an energy that he brought to us, you know. And, you know, guys, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, whatever, we're one heart. We all feel the same. We all operate from love. We all have pain. And I would say that's the greatest lesson that I learned, quite frankly, from him, is that he could have had ego, right? He could have kept people away. He could have been a separator. But instead, he used his life to help bring people together. He was a uniter of people and a uniter of hearts. And I don't think we realized it at the time. I for sure realize it now. Kobe was not only a great basketball player. Kobe was, I think, one of the legends of being a human being, is what I think. Because everything he wanted in life, anything he wanted to achieve, he went after it. He achieved it. He had a beautiful family life. He was a great father. He created financial freedom. He had great health, and obviously he had his ego in check. And so I think I'll end it there, and I'll see you guys next week.